Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All the Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
Steve Rosenbloom.
We suck, so your self-quarantine doesn't have to.
Mark Grody.
I think there will be lasting derivatives of this once we get through it, and hopefully we will, with minimal damage, that people will be more aware, honestly, of washing their hands and
good thing.
And apparently wiping.
They suck, so you don't have to.
They can do what they have to do. They know what they have to do. Now they don't have any problem getting it done.
Founding members of the WB Club.
Wake and bake, come on.
Where's Toby?
So I'm practicing, you know, social distancing, and I have a few tips for everybody, you know. You know, no sharing pipes or joints, things like that.
The three words that describe this show, and I quote,
stink, stank, stunk.
It's Saturday Suckage on the Score.
We should be 670 WSUK. Good morning and welcome in. Saturday Suckage. If you're a Cub fan, it was Friday Suckage. Welcome in to whatever the hell we're doing here. All I know is that it's Saturday Suckage. I'm not sure who's here or when they'll be here or why. So I think we need to take attendance. Grobber?
It's Grobber. Sucks and it freebases.
Thank you. Mike Tomlin.
Sucking.
Don Cooper.
If I think something sucks, I'll tell you it sucks.
Jake Arrieta.
This sucks. Really, it does.
Brian Cashman.
I also know that we suck right now.
Albert Almora.
Damn, Willie, man, like, do we suck?
Pat Fitzgerald.
Sometimes you gotta embrace the suck.
Chris Rock.
I suck so bad, they used to pick me after the white kids.
Mark Grody. Mark Grody.
Bueller. Bueller.
The trash Bueller. Panda, is Grody wired in yet?
Apparently not. I don't know where the hell he's at.
Oh, man.
I mean, I guess we'll just have to do the show without him. It's
okay.
He's too busy for us. You know, it's whatever. It's all right. I got this.
But you sent out this tweet where we're going to force Grody on the air. So you're going to force Grody to be a guest on his show that he can't co-host like he normally does.
Yes, he is. He is an involuntary guest on the show. I there was no nose to be taken when I booked him.
You just said this. You're giving him a time. That's it. Make your appointment.
Pretty much. Yeah. Just say, hey, 12:20. You're on. Okay, cool. Talk then.
All right. Why didn't you tell him he was co-hosting? But it's that it's you. So you're Trash
That's
Panda
above my
is co-hosting, right?
Apparently, yeah. Let's do it, man.
It's your time.
Grody's not here. I'm here though.
It's your time. All right. Since you are a White Sox fan, let's start with you. Was this an annoying crosstown series leading up to it tomorrow last night? Was this frightening because you came back from you come back from a road trip where you're playing a whole bunch of good teams. You go 7-7, and it's a perfect trap game, if not a trap series, and you're playing the Cubs, and all of a sudden it's 6-0 in the first inning, and you're playing an embarrassing excuse for a major league roster, and you're down 6-0, and you can't afford to have a letdown even against an embarrassing major league roster. And then that happens. Were you worried? Were you fearful? What was it like going into that and then that top of the first?
I honestly was not concerned at all about this series. I mean, well, if you look at the White Sox coming into this series, I think if you're them and personally looking at it as a fan, it's like, oh, we get the Cubs now. The Cubs suck. We just played a bunch of really good teams. This is like a breath of fresh air. It's like, oh man, we're gonna get some win, like some easy wins here. I wasn't even concerned after the 6-0 deficit in the first because I know how bad the Cubs pitching is. It's like, oh, they'll be fine. I bet they make a game of this. I did not expect them to score 17 runs, but I was not shocked to see them take control of the game eventually. So like I looked at this as like kind of a relaxing series. This series doesn't have the intensity that a Cubs Sox series has normally had, at least from my perspective. Because like last year, it felt like a lot more of a thing because both teams were heading towards playoff runs, right? But this year, by the time they played the first series, the Cubs have already jettisoned their entire roster. So it was just like, oh yeah, the Sox are going to come in here and sweep them right out of Wrigley. And they did. And I would expect them to sweep again this weekend, though I would hope they win at least 2 out of 3. And avoid losing a series to an extremely bad team. But as for last night, like I was not concerned after a 6-0 deficit. And the series in general is just like, all right, thank God, a bad team. they get a run of bad teams that they can just really put the division away. And it all starts here.
Well, not just the division. That's a foregone conclusion. The part of it is getting some kind of home field advantage, finishing no worse than the second seed. That's what you need these teams for. But it's really hard to convince a team of major leaguers or any. And the betting line for a lot of years, I know specifically in hockey, was the first home game after a 4-game road trip, bet the visitors. Because everybody's looking around, they're distracted, they're back, they just got back. Whatever they did on the road trip is still on their minds. And then there's a whole bunch of distractions when you're home. I want tickets, I want this. And it was more so because it's Cubs. So now you got even more distractions because it's the city series, whatever you want to call it. It's such nonsense that they give out phallic devices as a prize. But the idea that you come home after that and it's really hard to convince them they didn't just do something when they competed so well against good teams and they managed to come 500 without Anderson when he missed 4 games. And you saw the you go, we go kind of thing. He's just that kind of, I don't know, I compared him last week to there's a Jeterness about him. Whatever it is, You look at all the shortcomings. You can talk about what he doesn't do. But when you watch what he does and what he means to that team and the way he acts, that's your leader. That's your you go, we go kind of guy. And it's terrific to see. But you can still see how they all could have let down. But now that you win the game, now that you come back, despite you have a bunch of questions now, like the manager who, what is he doing with that bullpen? So you have Lance Lynn. He's going today. He needs to win today. He needs to shut down that embarrassing excuse for a Major League roster in Cubs uniforms. And you need to get the same kind of offense against Alec Mills. And maybe rain washes out Kyle Hendricks' start on Sunday. But you need Lynn to be Lynn. And he is on quite the run. He's on quite the run of quotes. He wins the quote of the month. In May, you may remember, he was asked about the horrifyingly stupid unwritten rules of the game when our guy Mercedes hit Astudillo's 3-0 pitch for a homer. And La Russa kind of gave the okay for the Twins to throw at Mercedes. And Lynn's quote was, if a position player is on a mound, there are no rules. Let's get the damn game over with. And if you have a problem with whatever happened, then put a pitcher out there. So that was May. In June, again, we talk about these series because they played the Rays in June. And he asked if the series against the league-leading Rays was a challenge, his answer was, it's June. No one gives a bleep. We like that. In July, he was asked, he threw 117 pitches and gave the Sox a chance to beat the Tigers. He was asked how he knows he was up to the task of throwing 117 pitches. I'm a big bastard. That's how I know. And so now, Trash Panda, we have Lance Lynn.
I'm a big bastard. That's how I know.
Yeah.
I just had to work that in.
So we have Lance Lynn in August. He was on the White Sox pregame show. Chuck Garfine and Ozzie Guillen are sitting on the desk hours before the game, and they're doing the show. And here comes Lance Lynn walking by and talking about Chuck. Asked him a good question about fitting in on the South Side, feeling like a Southsider, and all that. And he said he knew years and years ago, here's his answer, years and years ago, that he knew how it could work for him.
I'll tell you what, I remember back in 05 when you guys won, I remember watching Jenks and all those guys play. I'm like, man, I can do that. I can be a dickhead. And it's like one of those things where I was like, all right, when I got here, saw the fans, got going, and it just kind of came out, and it's been natural, so I've been enjoying it.
How perfect is that?
Wonderful. He's so incredibly perfect for the White Sox. Like, it's almost a shame that it's just this year that he was able to get with the White Sox, because he was a lifelong White Sox pitcher, or career long, however you want to put it. Like, that would, he just fits so well. And I know they really like him in St. Louis still. I have some friends that are fans, big fans of the Cardinals. And like, when they heard that Lance Lynn was coming here, they're like, oh, take care of my big guy. And it's like, oh, I will. Like, I love this guy already. And he's so unbelievably perfect for this team. The easiest decision that Rick Hahn made this season is extending him. Like, it was just a no-brainer. Like, yeah, we're going to lock this guy up because he's perfect.
He looks like the White Sox fan who won a contest to get to play for the White Sox.
Yeah, it looks like they ripped him from a slow pitch game in some park on the South Side, you know? Like, he looks like he is a slow pitch pitcher or a slow pitch first baseman. Like, he doesn't look like he should be a professional pitcher, let alone one that's in the top, is the favorite right now still to win the Cy Young.
And, you know, he was talking about when he was breaking in, the pitchers he had on the St. Louis staff and La Russa managed him, and La Russa's are really good at Lance Lynn. La Russa connection's a really good example for Michael Kopech about here's what you're going through, because La Russa was a guy who used Adam Wainwright as a closer as a rookie to win a World Series. And watching the pitching staff, Lance Lynn is now kind of John Lackey. For what Lackey did was, and that kind of guy, Lance Lynn said there was a John Lackey was one of his influences, and you could see the way that's just good old country hardball. Here's my best. Do your best. Here it is. That's how can you not love that?
I love the mentality of any pitcher that is just like, yeah, I'm going to throw my fastball right over the plate. Go ahead and try to hit it because I think I can beat you with any pitch. Here it is. 96 mile an hour fastball just off the center of the plate. You're going to miss it. And I'm going to go sit in the dugout.
Yeah, there's a Larry Birdness about that where he would talk trash. He'd have the ball. He goes, I'm going to fake right. I'm going to go left, go right around you, lay it in. Okay. And then he go do that. After he told the guy what was going to happen, that's what Lance Lynn feels like. He's on the mound. Here it comes. Here you go.
He throws. It's basically the same pitch too. He throws a variation of this, three variations of the same pitch, which is incredible for a modern day major league pitcher to have that much success with only throwing. Only throwing three pitches is one thing, but it's the same pitch, slightly different.
Well, Mariano made a Hall of Fame career out of one pitch, and he just threw it differently, and he just threw it perfectly. And that's what Lance Lynn's having that kind of year.
The difference with Mariano, I think, is he was a closer, right? So he didn't have to worry about facing guys multiple times in a night. It was like, I'm going to go out, show you my best pitch, show three guys my best pitch. None of them are going to be able to hit it, and I don't have to worry about facing them again. A starter like Lance Lynn, he's going to face these guys three times if he has a good start. So by the third time through, they're still whiffing on his stuff. That's incredible.
That's true. Excellent point. I guess that's my co-host, Trash Panda. He will be here today, and he will also be dialing up the likes of Josh Nelson of Sox Machine. We will talk to him at 11:20 or so about Cubs Sox, and maybe he can tell us what the manager is doing, the captain bullpen is doing with a bullpen. At noon, Odyssey expert, writer for Odyssey, for The Score, Cam Ellis. We will talk some Bears. It is Adams, Lord and Savior Justin Fields taking the field as a starter.
Amen.
Yeah. And he played in that. You have reports of an epic Madden game.
Yes,
an
I do. Yes.
Epic Maddenomancy.
What?
Maddenomancy. Mancy is, like Arthromancy or Anthropomancy is, Mancy's a study of, so it's the study of anthropology.
Okay.
It's divine. Divining the future based on reading the entrails of a human being.
Okay.
That's what anthropomancy is. So you've done Maddenomancy, whereas you've divined the future of the Bears opener by playing Madden of the Bears and Rams.
True. It's very true.
There you go. Now you're smarter. 12:20, you're going to force Grody on the air. He's going to say, when is Grody on? He's not on this show. He should be on this show. It is his show. He's not on this show, but he's going to be on another show. What time?
Oh, tonight he's going to be on after the Bears game. So once the Bears game is over, he's going to do some post-game coverage.
Tune to The Score when the Bears game is over, and Mark Grody will be here, and hopefully not talking about a Justin Fields injury and he's out for the season.
So at 1 o'clock, don't speak that evil, man.
You don't think it's possible? Have you seen that offensive line? We have no idea what the offensive line is going to be. So Jason Peters might play, maybe not. Jermaine Effetti, maybe play, maybe not. James Daniels, I don't know who you got. And when's the last time we saw David Montgomery? Can he block the blitzer coming free? Rob Schaefer will be here, NBC Sports Chicago, talking Bulls. They did stuff. They cleaned out the guard pack stuff. All but two of the, it's quite a list of guard packs, first-round draft picks that are no longer here. So we will discuss that. We will discuss White Sox-Cubs with Josh Nelson of Sox Machine. This is Saturday Suckage. I'm Steve Rosenblum, and there's Trash Panda. You know, we never got Trash Panda. We never got around to Sweet Alice's email to you to underscore. That was a while ago. I don't know what Shooter's up to, but we'll catch up with that. Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer.
You bet on the team to win, and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All the Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
0-2 again. Here we go. Struck him out. This zany ride to the finish line is finally over. Unbuckle your seatbelts. Sox are 4-0 against the Cubs.
Thanks to NBC Sports Chicago, Jason Benetti on the final call after the, I think it was a 13-hour game last night, Cubs, Sox.
Only 13?
Yeah, it was just unbelievable. You're the guy who keeps track of every game, Trash Panda.
You're the one who
marks down
night.
All the time.
I marked the time for Cubs games. But I know it was a Cubs-Sox game last night, but I only marked the time for games that I work. I didn't work last night. Thankfully, because I would have gotten maybe 2 hours of sleep.
Yeah, and it was just, and it would have kept going on. They might still be scoring for all we know. Welcome in, welcome back. Saturday Suckage, we're going to suck so you don't have to. The Cubs appear to be hopeless with that inexcusably minor league lineup roster. We're going to go to the Scores Hotline now, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. And welcome in from Sox Machine, Josh Nelson. Josh, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm good. What a pitcher's duel last night. I am sure yeah. Circa was really happy to get all that money from all those under bets from last night. The over-under was 9.5 and the over-hit in the third inning.
We have Josh Nelson from Sox Machine talking Cubs and Sox. And so Yasmani Grandal entered the chat, and he did so in a way yesterday that was I don't know how you ask for that, how you expect that, how you believe it. Evidently, La Russa said he's been doing a lot of work. So what Grandal did in the Grandal scheme of things, and the way this lineup looks now compared to when everybody was getting hurt and going down, this last month makes the Sox look different, I think more imposing. How do you scout this? How do you describe this?
Well, it's like we finally get to see the Death Star fully operational. Last night was the first time the Chicago White Sox had what we thought would be their opening day lineup. And when you add Yasmani Grandal back into the lineup, and before even last night, with the return of Eloy Jimenez and Luis Robert, the White Sox were bottom five in Major League Baseball in home runs hit. Eloy and Luis come back, and Jose Abreu, who is a totally different player in the month of August, they were in the league lead for home runs. And now they lead the American League in home runs since July 30th. So you're seeing the power from the White Sox. And with Grandal, you're going to see a lot of walks, and it kind of rubs off on everybody else in the team. Last night, the White Sox had 9 walks to just 2 strikeouts. You would have to go all the way back to 2007 for the last time the White Sox had that type of ratio as a team. Jim Thome had a 5-walk game in that 2007 game against the Texas Rangers as they walked 9 times and only struck out twice. So you're right, Steve. When you add in Grandal, and now Eloy's back and Robert is back, this offense is totally different than we saw from the first half of the year. How do we watch this team moving forward? Well, it's tough to do in this next week because you got the Cubs for 2 more games and you got the Pirates Tuesday and Wednesday. We're not going to learn anything about the White Sox against these 2 teams. But I'm circling on the calendar. They have a 9-game stretch upcoming where they go to Oakland for 3. Then they're back home where they face the Boston Red Sox. They get a day off, and then they face the Angels and Shohei Ohtani. Those 9 games, I think it gives us the best opportunity to see just how well prepared this White Sox offense is as we inch closer to October. This next week, it's going to be fun. They're going to post big-time results, but that 9-game stretch against Oakland, Boston, and the Angels will tell us more.
Josh, I have questions about Dallas Keuchel. Over his last 10 starts, he has over a 7 ERA, which is, and if you're wondering, not good.
And I was going to ask, is that good?
That's not good. That is bad, in fact. So the idea has been put in my head, Lawrence Holmes, I know, was talking about this, and he's not the only one. Like, there is a legitimate possibility that if he does not pitch better in his next few starts, how do you justify putting him on the postseason roster?
You don't. I think if Dallas Keuchel speaks to the media, which he's supposed to before today's game, because he was quote-unquote too upset to talk last night to the media after his disastrous start. If Keuchel truly believes that he's going to pitch a postseason game in October, he's delusional. It is a far cry between he and Dylan Cease. And I am expecting the White Sox to go 4 deep in the American League Divisional Series with Lance Lynn, Carlos Rodon, Lucas Giolito, and Cease. And why not? All 4 of them have been pitching incredibly well. You can't afford to put Dallas Keuchel in a must-win situation on the mound right now, because you're going to get what you saw against the Cubs, and you're going to get what you saw against Tampa Bay. He's not locating. His cutters and sinkers down the middle of the plate don't work. He needs to work on the edges. He can't locate on the edges. That's why in his last 10 starts, it's a 7 ERA. And I'm glad that you mentioned that, Adam, because that's a pretty big sample size. That's 1/3 of your workload as a starting pitcher in the major leagues, when you, in today's baseball, you're expected to make 30-plus starts. And you got a 7 ERA? Like, this brings even questions into next year if he doesn't improve, in the sense of how much longer are you going to deal with this? And do you try to limit his innings so if you prevent his vesting option for the 2023 season and you can start saving some money? Keuchel has to pitch better. I think he's still going to make the start every 5th day. There could be an argument that maybe Ronaldo Lopez deserves that starting spot instead of Dallas Keuchel, but I do not expect Keuchel to pitch at all in October. There's no point even having him in the bullpen. I keep seeing, well, he's got to go to the bullpen. Why? What is the positive impact of somebody who throws 87 miles per hour down the zone? There is no benefit to that. If he can't start, he's not going to be in October.
I fully agree with you. And my follow-up on Keuchel is what the hell was wrong with him? Because he was, outside of Giolito, were the only reliable starting pitchers for the White Sox last year.
Right.
So what the hell has happened to him? It's mind-boggling to me that he could have been so consistent and deliver every single start last season. I know it was just 60 games, but... And now this year he comes out and basically from the jump has just been bad.
The cutter's terrible. You'll hear Steve Stone call out the cutter all the time. Next time you got Steve Stone on the station, ask him about Keuchel's cutter, and he'll tell you it's a terrible pitch. So that's really hurt him. So he can't bust righties in the inside corner because he can't hit the inside corner. And his cutter's flowing over the middle of the plate and getting smashed. The sinker's not that great. So... you don't want him to throw a four-seam at all because that's not a very good pitch. It's a 10-start sample size. That's pretty significant for a starting pitcher. He's not located. And as a veteran that throws 88, 87, you can only serve all of the pitches. And if you're doing neither of them, that's how you're giving up 6 runs to the Chicago Cubs in the first inning.
His ERA, by the way, Keuchel's ERA in the first inning is 6.12. That's a sample from this season, which means
also
it went down yesterday.
Way, yes.
Only allowing 6, it went down yesterday. Okay, I think here's the way this plays out. This is the way, I don't know how you finesse it with a veteran you have respect for. He was quite vocal. In some ways, his words turned last season around. And when he sort of smacked the hubris out of the Cubs when they were, 8-19 or whatever it was, and he had some strong words, and they turned things around. So they have to finesse it. But he didn't talk yesterday. Whatever he was upset about, maybe the White Sox said, you're not going to talk. We're going to fake an injury for you. You're going to be ready for next spring training. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's what can happen today when Dallas Keuchel, and he starts explaining, I just felt so, I've had something for the last 10 starts, and I just can't shake it. I need to go get treatment, and we'll see how that works. And he's been so bad, they won't even let him watch the playoffs. That's where that goes. but the manager, captain, manager, the bullpen manager of all time, why was Craig Kimbrell in a game you're leading by a touchdown? Is he trying to turn? Does he have a contract bonus to make ex-Cub pitchers look awful?
I don't know. Ryan Tepera, after his first appearance with the White Sox, has been awesome. So credit to Ryan Tepera. He's throwing great. I don't know what's going on with Kimbrell. Like, this is bad. I mean, we're going back to the 7 ERA. He's got a 7.12 ERA with the White Sox. And home runs are flying out of the ballpark. And the conversation always is, well, Kimbrell can only pitch well in a save situation. Come on. I refuse to buy that. You cannot be that psychologically picky about how and when you pitch. You can't. I would figure that Kimbrell would be excited as a veteran that he gets an opportunity to chase another World Series ring being traded from the Cubs to the White Sox. I'm just not seeing that type of enthusiasm out of Kimbrell. And if the roles do need to switch, sure, Liam Hendricks can then be the White Sox relief ace when the postseason comes around. That he's the first guy coming out of the bullpen in the 7th inning, and he takes you through innings 7 and 8 and hands it off to Craig Kimbrell if that's the only inning and only situation that Kimbrell can amp himself up and pitch at his best. I got a lot of questions about Craig Kimbrell. I don't want to be a meatball on your show this afternoon. So
oh, go ahead. This is Saturday Second. You're welcome to it.
We encourage that.
I mean – it's kind of like being a diva. Like, really? You can only pitch in the ninth in a save situation? Like, what happens if it's game seven of the World Series and it goes to extra innings? Tony La Russa can't go to you because you can't amp yourself up? You can't get that adrenaline flowing to be the lockdown pitcher to close out the game? Like, it brings a lot of questions. That's why I don't want to buy into White Sox fans saying, well, he's got to pitch in the ninth. That's the only time he's comfortable in. Like, there's just no way. You are a pitcher. You have a job. When you get called out of the bullpen, you go to the mound and you try to strike everyone out. You don't want to give up home runs. You don't want to allow base hits. You want to shut down that inning. And Kimbrel hasn't been doing that at all. And he's been throwing in multiple situations with the White Sox. And this is a bad first impression. The thought process was excellent for Rick Hahn to acquire Craig Kimbrel. So this isn't like Rick Hahn made a bad trade. This is on Craig Kimbrel not pitching well. And luckily, the White Sox have a 10-game lead in the American League Central. He's got time to figure it out. But I don't know how anyone has any confidence if you hear the name Craig Kimbrel coming out of the bullpen in the American League Divisional Series, if it is against the Houston Astros. Like, is he going to be the guy that was with the Cubs and was automatic, or are we going to see another meltdown? And since he's joined the White Sox the past month, it's been more meltdowns.
But Josh, here's, I understand your point, and in theory, that's right. You're a pitcher pitch. You pitch when Steve Stone often repeats, I think it was Chuck Tanner who said, your role is to pitch when I give you the ball. But that fails when you're in real life. The reality is you have to manage the pitcher who's there. You have to manage all the pitchers who are there. What we have is we have a Liam Hendricks saying, I don't care, give me the ball. One, two innings, I'll pitch all you want. I don't care which innings they are, I want to win.
Right.
And if Kimbrel is much more successful in the ninth inning, and he was the best reliever in baseball when the White Sox acquired him, and Tony La Russa refused to use him solely in the ninth inning and take Liam Hendricks up on his offer, then that's some bad managing. You're not managing the pitchers that are there, or you're just experimenting with those who are there and hoping that it doesn't hurt them the rest of the season because he's trying to figure right. out what he's got and what innings. That's the way I see this going. Craig Kimbrel is supposed to get outs, but if the manager doesn't put him in a position to succeed or doesn't know who that pitcher is, then the team is being wronged with that kind of approach.
And we could be having a battle of egos, right? Tony La Russa may think, no, I want to use you in this role. And Kimbrel's saying, well, I'm not comfortable in this role. Both of them have a very long track record in what they do. So mm-hmm. we'll see in who budgets. I think Tony La Russa budgets. I think moving forward, for example, if tonight is like 6-3, I'm half expecting Kimbrel to come out in the ninth to get the save. I do think we're going to make this transition because you're right, Steve. Hendricks just wants to pitch every day, and he wants to win. And Hendricks doesn't have what Kimbrel has, which is a World Series win. So Hendricks is a bit more hungry, and that's why I think in the postseason, just like we've seen with Josh Hader and Andrew Miller, in the past postseasons, we could see Liam Hendricks be that guy where we see him often pitching multiple innings in the postseason to get the ball to Kimbrel to close it out and get the save. But it's going to be fingers crossed, edge of your seat, can Kimbrel lock it down? And we'll see. We'll see.
That's the thing. I don't trust Kimbrel at all right now. Even if he comes out in the ninth in a close game tonight, I'm going to be on the edge of my seat. I have more faith in Hendricks right. overall at the moment. Yeah, because and even though it isn't Kimbrel's ERA in the ninth inning, I think is still zero, right? The last time I checked, like 4 days ago, I think it still was.
Well, until yesterday.
That's right. Okay, so it's not anymore. My bad. I should also note that I told you before we came on, Josh, like I went to bed at like 10:30, assuming the game is over. I think it was like 13-14-7 at the time. I wake up and the final score is 17-13. I'm like, what the heck happened in the last three innings of this game? But anyway, as we start to wrap up with you, Josh, I had a question that Steve kind of posed to me as we got going today, and it was your perspective coming into this Cubs Sox series, because it felt to me like the series, even in when it was in Wrigley, doesn't have the same intensity if you're looking at it as like a fan, because the Cubs are so bad and we know the White Sox are just glaringly the better team.
Yeah, there's no excitement. There's really little buzz. It's almost like another series. It's kind of like if the Kansas City Royals came into town. The expectation is the White Sox should win this series, if not sweep. And it's more fun when you see Cubs fans and, you know, you're jabbing each other as far as with jokes and a little trash talking. But the product on the field, everybody understands. Those that cover the White Sox, those that cover the Cubs, these are way different quality of teams. And it wasn't that long ago, you know, 2018, that was a similar story. The Cubs were a far superior team, and the White Sox were on their way to lose 100 games in a season. One day, we're going to have these two teams be on top of their game, like 2008, and it will really bring the excitement when you got two first-place teams facing each other. I think it's going to be a while before we see that, unless the Ricketts family changes their mind. You're still going to have a sellout crowd. It's going to be super loud tonight when the White Sox hit some home runs. But, yeah, this year, the Crosstown Cup, it's flat. There's very little buzz, and it is because the Cubs are not very good.
Well, we'll look forward to, for the White Sox sake, not being very good today. Lance Lynn can end the series, win it, and you move along from there. Josh, thanks for your time. We appreciate it.
No problem. You guys have a great weekend. Thank you.
You too. Josh Nelson, Sox Machine, was our guest. We'll take a break when we come back. I know who gets to, I know who could put Justin Fields in the opener. I know who gets Justin Fields on the field for the Bears' real football game, the opener. Even though Trash Panda, your Lord and Savior, is starting tonight's useless game against Tennessee, I got an idea of who gets him on the field in the opener. We'll talk about that next. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
I just say the little things, the little intricacies within the plays, and just, you know, repping every play and getting it down, just getting reps after reps after reps. But, the thing with the huddle and stuff like that, I feel comfortable with it now. So now it's just, you know, focusing on the little things now that I have the base under me and just getting better every day.
Justin Fields. All the intricacies, all those things, all those details. He's your starting quarterback tonight in the third practice game. It's in Tennessee, so it's on the road. Maybe he'll have an offensive line. Maybe he'll have the guys who will actually be the starting offensive line. We have no idea who's going to play. The Bears don't say. They don't have to say. We don't know who's healthy, who's going to make the trip. I don't know. But Justin Fields is going to start, and we'll see how long he goes. Welcome in, welcome back. Steve Rosenblum and Trash Panda on Saturday Suckage today. Yeah. So here's who gets Justin Fields into the opener. Probably in the first quarter of that night's game. Aaron Donald, that's who. You look at that offensive line, and you look at Andy Dalton, and you look at Aaron Donald, and I say Aaron Donald makes it happen. He'll find a way to. He's going to get to Andy Dalton. I don't know if Andy Dalton will get up once Aaron Donald gets to him. And there's Justin Fields on the field in the opener, just as the NFL wanted when it put the Bears in the Sunday night slot against the Rams. That's the way I see it, Trash Panda, because I don't know that Andy Dalton is mobile enough. He might be able to get rid of the ball quickly, but I just see big injury coming right there.
It's hard to disagree with that because Andy Dalton, that is not necessarily known as a mobile quarterback. Not that he's like a total statue back there, but he's certainly not a guy that we've ever associated with running the ball well. And we know that the Rams defensive front is going to get to the quarterback in that game. Like, it's going to happen. The front, the middle of the line, I'm not so worried about, from Whitehair to Mustafa to Daniels. not too worried about them. I'm more worried about the player to be named later at left tackle and the probably Jermaine Ifedi at right tackle. Or I guess we know the left tackle is going to be Jason Peters, most likely. We'll see, right? If he's able to play a full game at that point. But that's an absolute possibility. Andy Dalton could get so beat up in that game that they're forced to bring in a new quarterback. I hope it doesn't happen. I don't want the Justin Fields era to start because of Andy Dalton getting hurt. Like, you never want to root for that. And all that being said, I am glad that you touched on this, because that Madden game you referenced earlier that I played last night, in which I started a franchise with the Bears and played their Week 1 game against the Rams. Of course, my first move with the franchise was to elevate Justin Fields to starting quarterback, because I'm not crazy and I know he's the best quarterback on the roster. And the whole reason I got the game.
Trash band and Nagy right there.
And the whole reason I got the game is because I wanted to play with Justin Fields. So I'm not going to sit here and act like Andy Dalton's going to start against the Rams. So anyway, the Justin Fields, first of all, is the reason I was able to win that game, because the last drive, I'm down by a point. And I don't know, I was somewhere close to my own 40-yard line. Clock's running. There's 40 seconds left. I'm in no huddle. And I dial up a play where Allen Robinson is running a post route. Or not a post route, sorry, a corner route on the left side of the field. I drop back. I immediately see pressure coming from one Aaron Donald. And so
it's funny how that happens.
Yeah, right? Yeah, it's really weird, right? How did Aaron Donald get through that line? I have no idea. And so I run out to my left. Justin Fields is not only able to outrun Aaron Donald to his left, so he's running to his left, outrunning the three-time defensive player of the year, four-time, I lost count now, and Aaron Donald, the best defensive player in the league, outrunning him. And Aaron Donald's not slow. Like, he is a quick human being. Justin Fields is then able to, I see Allen Robinson 40 yards downfield, no, not 40, maybe 35 yards downfield, decide to take a prayer shot because I need to get rid of the ball anyway. Justin Fields throws an absolute frozen rope to Allen Robinson on the sideline, who makes the catch, and I end up winning the game with a field goal at the buzzer. Like, it was incredible, and I know it's just a video game, but in no world, fake or real, could Andy Dalton do that. Andy, like, just outrunning Aaron Donald, period, to be able to make a play there. Justin Fields can do that. Maybe he can't make that throw to Allen Robinson. That might have been a little unrealistic, especially because I was running so hard to the left. But the ability for him to escape pressure is going to save his life, number one, and it's something that Andy Dalton cannot do. And we are going to see it all night in that Sunday night game against the Rams.
What the Bears are telling you is that Andy, you're right, Andy Dalton can't outrun anything the way Justin Fields can. They're telling you that Andy Dalton can get rid of the ball out of self-preservation faster than Justin Fields, especially Justin Fields is, and here's the part of the irony or the silliness of Matt Nagy with you right here. He continually, in various ways, criticized Mitch Trubisky, who looked check down to touchdown. That's the order he went. He couldn't really read the field, but that's a whole nother thing that Matt Nagy couldn't figure out. Justin Fields looks touchdown to check down. He's going to hold the ball longer. He's going to rely on what you were talking about, his elusiveness. And that Matt Nagy will try to sell you on an idea that Andy Dalton knows where to throw the ball because he can read blitzes when they come at you with different defenses, when it changes pre-snap, and Justin Fields can't read that. Maybe putting himself in danger, maybe developing bad habits. That's what they're hedging on. And there's truth to that. But Andy Dalton's not going to run an offense that's going to hurt anybody deep because of that, because that offensive line, because he's going to have to get the ball real quick.
Exactly. And I think we're all in agreement. I don't know anybody that thinks Andy Dalton's going to play more than a few games. Like, if he plays more than three games, if by the fourth game we're not screaming universally for Andy Dalton, for for Justin Fields, then Andy Dalton has just somehow played out of his mind, and the Bears are 4-0, which they're going to be lucky to be 2-2 after a month. So, just because two of the teams they play are really good, and two of the teams they play are actually beatable, so it's going to happen. Like it can't not happen this year. You can't go an entire freaking year with Andy Dalton as your quarterback. I think Matt Nagy knows it.
He has said it
without saying it. He has said that Justin Fields playing, and I'm paraphrasing here, he said that Justin Fields' playing time as a starting quarterback is almost entirely dependent on how Andy Dalton plays.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the second we see Andy Dalton play bad, could be an entire half against the Rams. All right, you're out, kid. And Matt Nagy showed he's not slow to hook a guy who's playing bad when he did it last year with Mitch against the Falcons. Mitch was playing terribly. Matt Nagy said, okay, enough of this. I'm putting in Nick Foles, and they won the game.
And Matt Nagy is going to make sure that Dalton sucks because he's given Dalton the worst play caller on the staff, which is himself, Matt Nagy. We've seen that. So here is, congratulations, Trash Panda. It's one thing to be Trash Panda and producing Saturday Suckage. But on our text line, and the text zone is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online at rosenhyundai.com. Our text number, 312-644-6767. Both 708 and, of course, 815, where the Wake and Bake show lives. Here's the 815 text. Saturday Suckage is talking about video games as real life. I need to get my bong. And the 708, is Trash Panda really breaking down the season opener via a video game? LOL, loading my bong now. Congratulations, Trash Panda.
Oh, thank you. It's what I'm here to do.
You made it as part of card
carrying. Smoke weed every day.
There you go. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to talk to Odyssey writer, score expert, Cam Ellis, about said Bears and said quarterback tonight going forward. I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's Trash Panda. The WB Club just got called into session by breaking down the season opener on a video game. Well, damn right we did. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience. And it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Airo.
I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.